Welcome to Performance on Track, a podcast by First Alpine Railway Systems. Welcome back to Performance on Track. In part one, Mr. Lukas Brettner explained why the wheel-rail interface is that critical. But as important as that contact point is, it is only one piece of the puzzle, or of the track in that context. So in this episode, we will explore how forces are transferred through the track system, how that affects performance and asset life, and how digital technologies are helping railway operators to optimize maintenance and availability. In part one, we focused on the wheel-rail interface. Let's now look beyond that contact patch. So what exactly do we mean by vertical track interaction, and why is it that important for degradation, maintenance planning, and the overall track availability?
Yeah, this is actually a very important topic, and we've spent a few words on that before already. So, as mentioned, it's important to understand the components in the system, to also understand how the loads are distributed onto the ballast. And I think here is for sure a point where we can introduce some new components, where we can bring some benefit. But first of all, of course, you need to understand how the whole system is working. And what we've observed is, for example, that at the rail joints, where the rails are welded together, after some years in track, you might observe some small dips or some small wear in this particular zone. And this leads to high dynamic forces in the track. And so we've asked ourselves the question, well, can we do something about it? Can we optimize the system? And we've really built again here, based on measurements we did in track, we've built a very good simulation tool to model this. So this alone can be used for a lot of different purposes, but of course it can be also used for the track system design, where you can combine the components in a way to, I would say, highest possibly reduce the impact that's put on the ballast. Because usually the ballast or the subgrade underneath are the weakest layers, which are at the end limiting the service life of the track. And to prolong or the maintenance cycles for the ballast, to prolong the service life of the track, this is a major factor where we can contribute either by the analysis tools or actually by new components and new systems.
Besides that, having a look at another use case of the vertical dynamic track interaction, What could happen if we don't pay attention to this factor?
Well, I think this is well displayed in the measurements we did in a test center or test ring in Germany, where we examined the vertical loads depending on the depth of this small welding tip. And of course, if it's just 0.1, 0.2 millimeters, it's not very big of an effect. Still, it's if you consider that locomotives are running over it with high axle loads, it already might lead to accelerated track degradation. But then what we've seen in statistical analysis and what we've also measured here is when the tips get deeper, then also these high dynamic forces increase. And we've measured very high vertical loads up to 200 kilonewtons, but also for the deeper ones, even higher than that, up to 260 kilonewtons that can appear. And this, of course, leads to high stresses in the rails, in the weld itself, which is already a point of weakness in the track. But of course, also when you consider all the load distribution, this also leads to a fast degradation of the ballast. And here you can do a lot of things. You can grind more often if you have enough access to track, enough grinding machines, and enough money, because it's also, of course, it costs some money. Or you can also consider optimizing some components in the systems, some components have bring more effect on this particular factor, others maybe less. But then at the end, there will always remain the question, how do I, in an optimum, combine all the components?
So besides looking at the vertical dynamic behavior, we should additionally look at the lateral track behavior. What role does the lateral track behavior play from a system perspective?
If you imagine that we have a continuously welded track in a ballasted layer, in summertime the rail gets heated up, in wintertime gets cooled down, and this brings stresses into the system because the rail material, it's steel, wants to stretch or
it
vice
reacts,
versa,
course, yeah,
depending on the temperature.
Yeah.
And the forces need to go somewhere because a logic way of reacting to this certain temperature effect would be that the track just buckles. So more or less when it gets hot, the track tries to move sidewards in a kind of S-shaped crack. And this is of course a risk because if you imagine that you are driving 200, 300 kilometers per hour and all of a sudden you are facing such a track buckle, this might lead to a derailment. On the other hand, when it gets cold, you have high tensile stresses in the rails, and this might lead to a rail break. So both are topics you need to avoid, and for both we have created by now the simulation tools. Again, here we are able to analyze certain situations in track. We can analyze these track buckling effects, for example, but we were also able to analyze the impact of different sleeper types, for example, in our test track in Donawitz. And we've seen that by changing the shape of the sleepers, it is possible to increase the lateral resistance of the sleepers, so to be able to provide more resistance against this buckling by 44% with our new innovative fastening system.
Yeah, this would have been my next question, actually, if there is something that we can do when we detect it, that there may be a risk of that happening.
Yes, so again, you can use it to introduce or to assess the effect of new components, like in this case. But then you can also use it to analyze certain track buckling events that occurred. And then again, provide a better understanding, provide a better technical know-how to solve certain situations. And I'm pretty sure it will not be our last invention in this particular field.
And again, do you have another use case for the buckling?
Yeah, so as mentioned, it can be not only used for sleeper design, you can use it to optimize a whole system. You can optimize the effects of new rail profiles, for example. What effect does, for example, a wider rail foot have? What kind of effects will the fastening system contribute? And again, here, this combination of the simulation tools, the test track, and the capability to measure in the track helps a lot to solve crucial situations.
And all of these measurements and simulations generate a lot of data, as I can imagine. And this is exactly where digital tools become essential. What role in general does digitalization and decision-making tools play in track systems technology today?
Yeah. If you have a look around, in all fields of our daily life, you see what role digitalization can play. And I think in particular in the railway track, as mentioned, it's historically grown. I think we can contribute new solutions to provide a better basis for decision-making. Decision-making in terms of maintenance, decision-making in terms of track renewal, but also if it's just about quality control, are the right rails in the right place? So in all these kind of questions, digitalization can play a larger role. And I think we need to make sure to combine three different data streams. So the first would be to to implement the core data or to bring in the core data into a system.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we have developed, for example, for the Rails, a new solution, which is called Digital Touchpoint Rail. It's more or less an RFID-based tag, which can be used to read the or to identify the rail in track and link it, so the physical product rail, to link it with the database in the background. And then our customers can directly download actually the core data of the rail. And if you combine it with a geolocalization, for example, with a measurement train, you know exactly where is which rail placed. Did I put the right rail steel in the curve, or did I by accident place it in a straight track, and so on and so on. You can maybe in the future time also use it to store, for example, your welding parameters into the database. So all of this you can use for quality measurement, but it is also the basis for a later on, I would say, large-scale performance prediction, if you want so.
And all of this falls under core data?
The core data are the basis. Yeah, you need to have the core data in the system. You need to know what are the core data of my components. But then, of course, you also need to get condition data. Here, I think railways are already doing a very good job, to be honest. They are using their measuring cars. They are using some trazines already to measure the condition. But this, of course, this condition needs to be put also into a kind of database, needs to be analyzed and needs to be combined with the core data. And then it's important to bring in the third data stream, which is the loading data. So I also need to understand which trains are running over my tracks, what are the loads put onto the rails, because there might be wheel defects, there might be excessive forces, lubrication on the train side lubrication might not work optimally. So in this case, you need to analyze all of these kind of data streams, and our platform where we do it is actually the Centrac system. So this is the single point of data truth where we combine all the data, the solution that we can provide, but which can again then serve as a basis for further simulations to optimize the system, which can be used to do the large scale lifecycle cost calculation. So all of this kind of works together hand in hand to be able to provide profound decision making tools.
And also, as Centrac is one of the future episodes topics, so we will go into much more detail about that very soon. So for our listeners, stay tuned for also these upcoming episodes. But for now, from a customer perspective, what is the real added value of combining our system understanding together with digital tools?
I think, after all, it helps us to improve the system railway as a whole. So I think where we can contribute are these particular fields that we have discussed now. On the one hand, the wheel rail interface. I think we can save some money there in many situations. We need to get rid, still need to better understand some defects, but need to get rid of the defects. We need to reduce the maintenance activity in the field of wheel rail interface. And therefore, you need to combine the right material with the right shape of the rails, right shape of the wheels, and maybe also add some lubrication or friction modifiers in some cases. But you need to understand how it works. So this is for sure one impact. Also, if you want to change your rolling stock, you should know what effect will it have on the tracks. So this is for sure where all the system understanding helps us, but where also digitalization plays a crucial role, because without digitalization, you can't monitor the effects. Then again, using the right components in the right place, using the right materials for the rails, using the right sleeper types, etc. And having an eye on the combination of these and how it will contribute in a systemic effect, so to say, this is where it can help us. And then, of course, finally, it will end up in future products again, because we can use the data that we generate mm-hmm. in the track. We can use the simulation tools exactly for that, to find newer products, to find new system approaches where we'll optimize the whole track system in a way to make it as cost-saving as possible for the railway operators, for the taxpayers, or for the community as a whole, I would say.
And with that, we are already coming to an end of this episode. Therefore, I would like to thank you very much for all of these insights. I think we could talk about track system understanding and track system technologies for much, much longer. Unfortunately, this episode already. For the listeners of today, we hope this episode helped you to better understand how track systems technology, system thinking again, and data-driven tools contribute to long-term performance and availability of our railway infrastructure. Also, this episode, again, was based on one of our technical webinars. Therefore, you can also find the recording online on our Railway Systems Academy website, where you can also see the video recording and also the presentation our speaker shared. If you would like to learn more, stay tuned for upcoming episodes of the Railway Systems podcast, Performance on Track. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much again, Lukas Brettner.
Thank you for having me.